It's time for Big Game Preview. We look at big games this weekend, and we look at big games to come. And we start by heading out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. The 3-0 Pittsburgh Steelers coming off a win over the previously undefeated Chargers. Now they go on the road against the Colts. 1 p.m. on Sunday to talk about it. Jeff Hathorn, sports director, KDKA in Pittsburgh, joins us now. Jeff, we appreciate you, buddy.
Yeah, I got any time.
Well, I got to start here. Mike Tomlin says there's no need to name Justin Fields QB1. Agree or disagree?
I disagree, and I think if he were pressed, if he felt like Russell Wilson was healthy, he would probably choose Justin Fields. I mean, how do you walk into that room? You win three straight with a guy who's starting to win over the room just by his actions and say, we're going to make a change. I think Russ may have an opportunity, but that opportunity is going to come when he gets healthy and if Justin Fields either gets really bad or ends up with an injury.
All right, so I mean this in the most respectful way for Mike Tomlin, because he does scare me a little bit, and I want to respect him. When he was announcing that Justin Fields was going to be the starter until otherwise, last Monday, he looked like he was reading off a piece of paper, and he was blinking. Can you make sure? He wasn't a hostage, right?
He's a hostage every time he talks to us. Let's just put it that way. That's not one of his favorite things. Not it is that it is for any coach. But no, but he is consistent, man. He loves to throw those Tomlinisms out there, his cliches. And this time he's saying kind of with a factual cliche of, if I don't have to make a decision, the other guy isn't healthy, I'm just going to stick with the guy that is.
It's just too much blinking. Like that's not how much a human should blink. And I say that again with respect and a little bit of fear. Bigger loss, Alex Highsmith for a few weeks with a hammy, or Troy Fa'utanu for the season?
The tackle. Even though they have depth at both positions, Fa'utanu was coming on. They loved what he was doing in camp. He was working great in space. They were ready for him to take over that right tackle position for what they hope to be a long time. Highsmith, they have Nick Herbig behind him. Herbig made a couple of plays in that Chargers game. They've always liked him. He's in his second year. He's like TJ Watt's mini-me. He follows him around everywhere. And this kid has some special qualities. So I think they've got better depth at outside linebacker.
How is this team different than the team that started 11-0 a few years back?
They don't have the quarterback they had 11, you know, with Ben Roethlisberger. But I think this team has a mature defense that also has some younger stars mixed in. And offensively, they have an identity that basically allows the defense to win games. But they know what the identity is, and they've embraced the identity. That's why I would say, but I'm still not completely sold that this is an elite team in the NFL. They started off 3-0, but they've got some more hurdles to climb.
All right, final one here, buddy. Is the Colts game a should win for the Pittsburgh Steelers?
It's a should win, but they haven't seen a quarterback like this yet, and you kind of wait. Is Justin Fields going to have one of those games like he had in Chicago? And until he doesn't do that, you kind of keep that in the back of your mind.
Jeff, great stuff, buddy. Appreciate you.
Thanks, man.
That is Jeff Hathorn, sports director, KDKA in Pittsburgh. I nailed the tackle's name there, which I'm not going to try and nail again, but Jeff joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. The next game up, Buffalo on Monday Night Football, spanking. I mean, an embarrassment for Jacksonville there. Dominant performance by the Buffalo Bills this weekend, though. Now we've got Bills going on the road against the Ravens, who pick up their first win of the season, 8:20 on Sunday Night Football. Bills and Ravens, to talk about that, we head out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. You know the man, you love the man, WGR 550 in Buffalo. Bills sideline reporter Sal Capaccio joins us now. Sal, welcome to the show. Is this finally the year for the Bills?
I mean, if you could tell me how it's going to end, we'd all love to see that, right? But I will tell you that it's definitely not the kind of year that a lot of people projected, which is would be the window being shut or not contending. This is still a very good football team with a quarterback that's playing like the league MVP right now.
What is the difference for Josh Allen through the first three games, where he looks like a completely different guy the way that he looked the first three games of last year?
You know, I think it's really just that they're spreading the ball around and not caring about who the number one is, the number two is, and targets. And obviously, that's nothing against Stephon Diggs or Gabe Davis. Or Stephon Diggs is a fantastic wide receiver, but I think having that number one receiver to kind of try and feed, and, you know, knowing that he's your guy versus really having a whole bunch of weapons and parts that can play all over the field and they'll do all different sorts of things has really helped this offense. They can attack you from so many different ways on the field.
Sal, thank you for not saying Ken Dorsey. It's bleak up here in Cleveland, okay?
Well, listen, I won't say his name, but I will say Joe Brady has made a really big difference here. And, you know, when the Bills shifted from the person you just mentioned to Joe Brady last year, the Bills did, you know, have some success on the ground, and people wondered, would they just be a ground-and-pound team? Is that what Sean McDermott wants? No, it just was the circumstance because they couldn't really drive the ball down the field last year. But Joe Brady's had a really great opportunity to kind of get his offense with Josh Allen in sync of what they want to do. And they just want to be very multiple and attack from different ways. And so far, so good. They've won in different ways through all three games.
Three games in, and Ken Dorsey's getting the Voldemort treatment for Cleveland. Where's the weakness for Buffalo?
Well, that's a good question. Right now, it's actually more in their injuries, and, you know, it just hasn't shown up yet. You'd think that the backup players were playing, and they're banged up at their second level. Terrell Bernard, Matt Milano, Taron Johnson, you know, these are fantastic players, and all of them are out right now, and guys are stepping in and playing really big roles. Maybe, and still at the safety position, if teams want to try to attack downfield, because, you know, there's still some wondering about, you know, Taylor Rapp and Damar Hamlin, you know, now that you not have Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer. But even then, those guys are playing terrific. It's such a great system for everybody to be able to fit in. And Sean McDermott is so good at teaching and coaching that system.
Sal, Josh Allen's come close to being the MVP before. I think he's come in second twice in his career. Do you think what does an MVP do for his legacy, for his stature around the NFL?
Well, it would elevate it, of course, because you're looking at Lamar Jackson, who has two MVPs and no Super Bowls. You're looking at Patrick Mahomes, who has multiple MVPs and multiple Super Bowls. Now, Josh Allen needs the hardware to kind of be cemented with them in that regard, but he still needs the Lombardi more than anything. That's what he needs to really get that legacy to where it needs to be and where it deserves to be, because he is one of the best players of this generation. You could argue he is the best player in the league right now. And I know Patrick Mahomes is there. It's all due respect. He's not playing as well right now, but Josh is certainly up there with Patrick and Lamar. And those guys are, you know, obviously fantastic football players. Look, if Josh Allen continues to have this kind of season with this cast that's around him and no Stephon Diggs or Gabe Davis, I don't know how he doesn't win the MVP.
Sal, is this a benchmark game, this Ravens game for Buffalo, despite the 1-2 record?
No, I don't think so. I think being 3-0 for the Bills, going on the road in a short week on Sunday Night Football, I don't think there's any shame if they come back to Buffalo and they're 3-1. Of course, they want to be 4-0. They want to beat the Baltimore Ravens, but they have three tough games coming up. They're all on the road. This is a tough stretch, though. This is a benchmark stretch for them this season. This is at Baltimore Sunday night, then at the Houston Texans and Stephon Diggs, and then at the Jets on a Monday night after that. So I wouldn't say this is a benchmark game. They've given themselves a little bit of room and cushion here, which is nice. You don't ever want to drop a game, but I think the next three games overall, if the Bills can come out of this at 2-1 over the next three games, and they're at 5-1, I mean, they're looking really, really good and contending for that one seed.
Sal, one quick one before we go. There was a woman in the crowd yesterday holding a sign saying she'd leave her husband for Josh Allen. Her husband was right to his left. A bit or not a bit?
Probably not, actually. Josh is that popular here in Buffalo, and I think the husband would probably approve in that case, to be quite honest with you.
That is, we got a word for that I'm not sure I can say on air. Sal, great stuff, buddy. Appreciate you.
All right, you got it. Thank you.
Sal Capaccio, WGR on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, and that's where we stick as we welcome on of the Purple Insider up in Minnesota, Matt Collar. Now joining us, Matthew, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good to follow Sal Capaccio, former teammate of mine when I used to work in Buffalo. Great guy.
Everything's connected in this business. So Minnesota getting a great win this weekend. Dominating win over the Texans. Now they've got a road game against the Packers, 1 p.m. on Sunday. Let's start with Sam Darnold. Why are we seeing this Sam Darnold?
Well, I think it starts with Sam Darnold is very talented. I mean, because, you know, you can talk about the coaching and everything else, but he's made some number three overall pick type of throws. And I think that these were sprinkled into his performances sporadically throughout his career. But what the supporting cast does, the offensive tackles, the coaching, the scheme, the running game, the wide receivers, I mean, it all just makes it so it's less erratic and more consistent, I think. And then you start to build on the confidence of the player. And we've seen that through each of the last couple weeks where, hey, maybe there was a bad throw, or maybe there was a sack, or maybe there was a three and out. But then the next drive, he's right back to it. Against San Francisco, he threw a pick in the red zone, and then it didn't melt down because of it. And Houston was putting on a ton of pressure onto Sam Darnold, and yet he was able to navigate that. Even got knocked out of the game for a play, came back in, led them to a great drive. I mean, I think that the confidence for him is just growing and growing on a week-to-week basis. And there's also this guy who wears number 18 that you could always throw to every single time you're in trouble, which I think has helped every single quarterback that Justin Jefferson has ever played with. So I think it's kind of like a little bit of everything. It takes an entire village to have a quarterback play as well as Sam Darnold when it's not Josh Allen, and he could just make everybody better. We've really seen that through the first couple weeks here.
If Darnold is elite this year, continues what he's done through the first three games, there's no way you're going back to J.J. McCarthy next year, right?
Yeah, I think it's just hard to get there at this moment after only three games of, like, because there's so many permutations of that. I mean, okay, if he wins the Super Bowl, yeah, he's the quarterback. But what's the bar? There's a franchise tag, there's short-term contracts, there's a Jordan Love situation that you could go with where they stuck with Rodgers because he kept winning MVP, and then Jordan Love came out on the other side, pretty good, right? So I don't think that they need to be going down that road too far, but when he plays like this, if he does keep it up through the rest of the season, you are going to be talking about one of the best teams in the NFC with the defense that they've put together as well. And if you're going into the playoffs competing for a Super Bowl, it would be hard to then say, hey, a young kid, just go do the same thing that Darnold just did. And I think it's really relevant that Darnold was the number three overall pick. This isn't random. It's not total luck like it was maybe with Case Keenum a few years ago. This is a guy who has this level of talent and just needed the support. And we have seen other quarterbacks do this throughout history, Geno Smith most recently. So it's not a crazy thought to be thinking that they will be sticking with Sam Darnold. But, I mean, there's 14 games left, so I think we have to see him play a little, consistently that he's never done in his career before we get to that point. But maybe as we get halfway through the season or something, or after week four, if he goes to Lambeau, crushes the Packers, then that conversation will ramp up.
Matthew, you answered the other two questions I had for you in that very answer there. Great stuff, buddy. Appreciate you.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
Matthew Collar there on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. That is Big Game Preview.